This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. We made it to the end of another week.
Yeah, man. And Calvin, it's going to be 50 degrees, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change from yesterday. Yesterday was...
Chilly. Wait, 50 to
no,
50 today?
No, Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, and hype, and you know, 47 on Saturday, man, and then 48 on Monday. A veritable
Indian summer.
Yeah. Only Sandy if would come up with.
If that's politically correct, I'm not sure.
But. Native American summer.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. In fact, now that I hear that it's going to get warm, and I've got my ice rink to build, and I'm going to do it this weekend. So maybe I'll do it in the warmth.
I was about to ask except you that, if you had started it already.
No, I haven't started it, and I've been procrastinating. Last year, it never was cold enough. I put it up and I could never put water in it because it was going to be a swimming pool and not an ice rink. But we'll see.
Well, you know, I was looking at the weather, and they said even with this cold start to our winter, Sandy, we are still listed as one of the warmest years in history.
I think it's confirmed that it will be the warmest year in the world's history, at least. I don't know about which locale within the world, but the world at large, apparently, it's going to be the warmest year, and which is, it keeps setting that record year after year, basically. So
Sandy, you and I, we've got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about, but I would be remiss. We watched the Packer game last night. I will tell you, a Thursday night football game that mattered, that had intrigue, that had excitement, that had great football, that had, you know, all the way down to the wire. You couldn't have asked for a better football game.
Well, I could have asked for a better game. It could have ended up the other way. I told you, I had this premonition that when they went up by a field goal instead of a touchdown at the end, I thought, nah, you know, this is, I mean, when they used a field goal to tie the game rather than a touchdown to go in the lead, I thought, yeah, this isn't going to go well.
Well, Sandy, and go ahead.
Well, and it didn't, you know, so it's kind of infuriating, and it's the formula in the NFL, but, you know, in the second half, the defenses tend to go into this prevent process, and it seems to prevent touchdowns, but it doesn't prevent field goals is the problem.
Well, you know, Sandy, that game, you know, we watched the Central Division of the NFL just be a sloth trough for a long time. The Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, the, you know, Packers. Yeah. And so we could never, you never thought of them for decades almost, you know. And now all of a sudden, it's the best division in football.
Yeah, by a mile.
Yes.
You know, they've got three of the four teams have winning records, and the winning record of the conference at large is like 850 or something. I mean, it's unbelievable, actually. Well, three of the teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, three of the teams are going to make the playoffs. They're without question very, very tightly you know, talent-wise, there's not that big a difference. The Packers really are a very, very talented young team. The Lions aren't an old team, and the Vikings aren't an old team either. They're going to be good for some time to come. The Bears are a team that's coming up, and it's – look, man, it was what I wanted to see, except for, you know, this should be –
except for the end.
Well, yeah. plus it should be outside. You know, it's the Central Division, it's the Black and Blue Division, and you and I remember a time when they would have been playing, slogging through that cold weather last night, which I think would have had a difference, yeah. would have made a difference if that game was played in Lambeau Field.
Yeah, and I think when the Bears finished when I saw the rendering of the new Soldiers Field, I think it's got a roof too, so the Lambeau will be the only outdoor field in the conference.
So when do you think the Packers are going to get a...
They'll never get it.
No. No, man. They're never going to do it.
And Buffalo is building a stadium that doesn't have a roof over the field. So,
but it covers, you know,
the spectators. Yeah. Yeah. So they don't have to shovel the stands anymore.
Right? Anyway, Sandy, a lot to get to this morning, and I want to begin with the House GOP set for the tiniest vote margin possible. With all of the fanfare and all the excitement that, you know, the people who supported the Republicans and Donald Trump, we just saw, Sandy, with the small margin, the Democrats, when they the last time they had control over the House, when you've got such a small margin, there's not a whole lot that you can actually get done, but this is one of the tiniest in history, Sandy. Let's talk about the impact. Even though the Republicans control the presidency and the Senate, with all the different things that Trump and the Republicans are talking about, with that narrow margin, how much can actually get done?
Well, you know, I have to look at the Senate, too. I mean, all of those Republicans in the Senate are not MAGA Republicans. Collins from Maine and Murkowski and a number of them are independent thinking senators. So it's not going to be that easy to corral caucus discipline in the U.S. Senate and in the House. It's going to be razor thin. It does take a fair amount of chutzpah for a Republican congressperson to stand up against the caucus in a situation, because congressional people, I think, feel more vulnerable to getting primaried, and the power of the president to threaten primaries. They run every 2 years. You know, they're constantly thinking about getting reelected. So there will be some real nasty kinds of efforts to discipline everyone in that Republican caucus. But I don't think much of what we're going to see from Donald Trump in the early years, in the early part of this, is going to involve legislation, quite frankly. He's talked about things that require legislation. We'll be talking about some of those later in the show, like who gets taxed and on what. But I think the primary things, the activity we're going to see early on, are going to be exercising the power of the imperial presidency, or the attempt to exercise powers of an imperial presidency, and not so much legislation. But to the extent that anything controversial is proposed, I think it'll have a great deal of trouble passing. The filibuster power on a lot of things that the Senate can hold up, and the House is razor thin.
But Senator, you and I had spoken about the fact that, you know, Donald Trump and his power to terrify elected officials to go along with him, whether they agree with that or not, because all he has to lose is one, maybe two Republicans.
Like I said, though, it takes some chutzpah for those one or two to stand up to him, because his power of threatening primary opposition is probably greatest at the congressional level. It's easiest to find candidates there. Those people stand for re-election every 2 years. And there are a number of those congressional seats are comfortably Republican seats. But then the question is the incumbent Republican comfortable with the primary? And a lot of the power that's been exercised by MAGA Republicans in terms of disciplining people has been in those gerrymandered or at least reliably red seats where the Republican primary decides who it is that comes to Congress.
So, Sandy, Tony says we're going to see how strong that executive order power has become quickly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But there's no question in my mind that Trump and the Project 2025 concepts that I think they'll be trying to implement and the stuff that's going to be proposed by Ramaswamy and Musk is all going to be pushing the envelope on the power of the presidency, the power to impound money that's been authorized by Congress, the power to order the army to do things, for instance, in terms of rounding up immigrants. There's going to be a whole range of things, the foreign policy powers with respect to tariffs, the power to constrain activity in various agencies. Can he really harness defeat the power of the EPA, for instance? And what is it that he'll do with respect to the Federal Reserve?
So, Sandy, so Mike Johnson, the speaker, may somehow have less power this time around than he did last time.
Well, he's going to be herding cats, and it's going to be, he's going to be a busy shepherd dog trying to to hold the caucus together when you've got such a fragile margin. I mean, that's a fool's errand almost to be speaker in a situation where you've got a razor-thin margin.
855-752-4842. You know, it's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. A House GOP set for the tiniest vote margin. We're going to so many different things that we're going to be talking about, this morning on the Earl Ingram Show. We're going to be talking about Biden considering preemptive pardons for officials and allies. We're going to talk about the American dream. Is it dying? The housing crisis, five reasons why Trump will govern like no other president in history, on and on and on with Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. So, Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about not being too surprised about things that people might describe as surprising. So, you know, what's unfolding now shouldn't really surprise us at all, you know, in terms of the Trump administration. It's what he told us was going to be happening. And the shocking part of it now, I guess, is that it's all happening. But yeah.
So, Sandy, do you think that as we were talking about before we went to break, so many people are expecting those promises that Donald Trump made to become a reality? And even though government as we know it is going to be forever changed with this Trump presidency, there's certain things that he just can't, even with what he's attempting to do, and even with Project 2025, they're not just going to be able to wave a magic wand and then everything disappears and goes away, are they?
No, well, absolutely not. I mean, the logistics, first of all, just the logistics of what he's talked about and what Project 2025 talks about, firing 5,000 federal employees, or if Project 2025 dreams of even firing 15,000 and then replacing 15,000 employees, is a logistical nightmare, right? I mean, it's not easy to go out and find 15,000 people who know how to do what needs to be done in each of these jobs in government. And then applying loyalty tests to them and expecting to find competence and loyalty simultaneously in a broad range of people. The ability to do the, for instance, the promises he made regarding taxes, the notion that Social Security income wouldn't get taxed is not something the president can do. It would require congressional action. But the fact is that Donald Trump made thousands of promises, it seems. I mean, hundreds at least. And his followers all embraced the ones that were promising as far as they were concerned. But all of his followers, would make apologies for him and say, well, he's not really going to apply tariffs across the board. That's just negotiation for those who didn't really believe that tariffs across the board were a good idea. And he's not really going to cut Social Security taxes. Everyone knew that when he made the promise. And so all these promises were made almost tongue-in-cheek, designed to entice people to vote for him. But none of his followers could stand upright today and tell you which of those promises he's going to even try to implement, much less which ones will get implemented. And implementing many of them is a very difficult process. I mean, the president has some powers of the presidency that allow him to unilaterally do some things in the areas of foreign policy and tariffs. There are some capacity for him to control the activities in the executive branch. But for instance, the expenditure of money that's been authorized by Congress, the ability of the president to bottle that up and not spend it is something that clearly I think will get tested, because I think he will try to. It's called impoundment, where the executive says, I'm not going to spend the money authorized by Congress. And there are some narrow exclusions from currently the Supreme Court's prohibition against the president impounding money that's been authorized by Congress. But I'm confident that with the help of Ramaswamy Elon Musk, that he's going to try to expand his capacity to not spend money authorized by Congress.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, what you just said, so Joe Biden has authorized and the Congress has authorized the infrastructure money that's authorized into the future. What you are saying is Donald Trump can't now come in and prevent that money from continuing down.
Being spent.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there have been Supreme Court cases. There was a test back in the Nixon era. There was a subsequent test. There were tests a couple of times before that where presidents have tried to exercise the power to impound the money, to simply say, I don't agree with the expenditure of that money that's been authorized by Congress, and I hereby prohibit that agency from spending the money. But the fact is that the Supreme Court, in all those circumstances, said there is no power of impoundment on the part of the president. Money authorized for expenditure by Congress must be spent, and only in the circumstance where there are programmatic difficulties in actually spending the money can you defer the expenditure of that money. Can you defer it for a while you work out those difficulties? But I'm confident that they will go back to the Supreme Court on this issue, that they will try to impound money, and there will be people withstanding to bring that case before the Supreme Court, questioning the power to impoundment. So I think what we're going to be seeing in the early years of this presidency is a lot of litigation, quite frankly.
Well, Sandy, there's a new Supreme Court, though. There's a Supreme Court with its fingerprints all over it.
Absolutely. That's why I think that they will be emboldened to ignore prior Supreme Court precedent on an issue like impoundment, and they will definitely be trying to stretch the power of the presidency into something much more like an imperial presidency. And one of the imperial powers would be to decide whether money gets spent or not, regardless of whether Congress has authorized it. And so, you know, that's an area. And similarly, the ability to fire 15,000 federal employees. I mean, there's probably 3,500 where it's clear that they have got, the president has appointing powers, but everything beyond that is going to be subject to litigation and test, I believe.
All right. Trump promises to end taxes on Social Security, Sandy, and you know, taxes on tips and those kinds of things. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Sandy Williams is my co-host. You can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday with Earl Ingram and Sandy Williams.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, we talked a little bit in the last segment about whether or not these promises that really, you know, there was a time, Sandy, when you know, we knew how things ran in this country. Donald Trump and Project 2025 is going to attempt to make these major changes. But you say that there are checks and balances that may be strong enough to resist even this, some of these things that they're talking about.
Well, on the side of modifying how the White House runs and digging deep into the civil service with firings and appointing loyal folks, most of the checks and balances there are logistical. Okay, the ability to make appointments. So Donald Trump failed to fill all the appointments he had to make
last
in
time.
The last go round when there was like 3,500 of them. But they're talking about creating 15,000 vacancies in government and then running around and finding people competent, hopefully competent to do the job, who are also ideologically loyal to the propositions being proposed by the White House. And that's a very difficult job, okay, very hard to accomplish and very disruptive. I mean, you know, it could destroy the functioning of the government in the process. So my concerns on the executive side of the things that he can accomplish is, number one, can he actually do the things he's saying, and how disruptive could they be to the governmental processes? Everything else that he talks about that requires legislative action, changing taxes, changing who gets taxed, et cetera, will require Congress, which obviously does have some checks and balances, particularly with a razor-thin majority in the House, and with the filibuster power on the Senate side. Now, a fair number of bills that relate to funding the government are not subject to the filibuster rule, but there are at least some independent senators on the Republican side who are not necessarily going to toe the MAGA line in every way. So some of his ideas, for instance, the modification of taxing Social Security, has a huge financial impact on the budget, okay, in terms of creating deficits by a loss of revenue. And so his capacity to deliver on that promise, or the capacity to deliver on the promise regarding tip income, is one which, if it's accomplished, has the potential to have some serious negative impacts from an economic standpoint. And I think Wall Street is worried about, to the extent that it's worried about the Trump presidency, the thing it's most worried about is the fact that he might exercise power sufficient to accomplish all of these things he's talked about doing that have a fiscal impact, like reducing taxes and eliminating taxes on various portions of income and the disruption that would have caused in the societal taxation, as well as the coffers of the federal government. Of trying to control the Federal Reserve and its conduct and the tariff that he's talking about. All of these things are highly inflationary and could be very troublesome for the economy.
So, Sandy, let's for instance say, okay, he wants to get rid of 5,000 governmental employees. It's pretty safe to say one area for certain that he's going to be working on is the IRS. And so clearly with the budget deficits that the nation already has, to cut back on IRS employees is some of these things, Sandy, you can't make it up.
The deal is, it's the stuff that they talk about doing is so cynically responsive to people with wealth, right? I mean, who worries more about the IRS and audits than people who have lots of money to lose in an IRS audit, okay? And cutting back on IRS capabilities is simply going to be reflected in their inability to carry out audits. Who has the biggest outstanding audit pending right now? The president has talked about it for 8 years, how he's dealing with a big IRS audit, and has been since before he entered politics. The policies that they're talking about adopting, for instance, his desire to reduce regulation of cryptocurrency, and his appointment of someone to head the SEC, who has announced his desire to reduce regulation of cryptocurrency, certainly is unusually clear why Donald Trump might have an interest in that, or Elon Musk might have an interest in that. Elon Musk has placed a huge bet on Doge, which is a cryptocurrency, and the Trump family business 6 months ago started a new business venture which is premised on cryptocurrency and the value of cryptocurrency. And incidentally, the value of the Bitcoin has now exceeded $100,000 in light of the market's view that Donald Trump is going to do a whole bunch of things that are beneficial to cryptocurrency. And so, you know, all of these things are nest feathering for the very people who are in government. And many of his appointments are people who have a direct interest in the regulations that they will now be responsible
for. Well, you know, Sandy, you've been talking nonstop about for years now about one of the major problems we have is that there's not enough resources coming into the federal government to deal with the output, the outgoing you know.
It's expenditures. Yes. Right. Yeah, revenue. We've reduced revenue, but we haven't reduced expenditures. And Donald Trump reduced revenue without reducing expenditures. And he's now talking about step one of his administration being to, again, reduce revenue. And reducing expenditures is a very tough fight, you know, and it needs to be carried out carefully so that it doesn't materially damage Tom, Dick, and Mary, right? Because ultimately, most of the programs of government are designed to support the people and to support people who need support, and to protect the people from, for instance, the FDA. It's a protective agency.
Well, Sandy, we've got this $2 trillion, you know, deficit every you know, fiscal year. And now if he cuts back on the IRS, the entity that's supposed to go out and get those resources, right? What are we talking about here? I mean, it's just nonsensical, Sandy, if you give it any thought, that what he's attempting to do is really only going to hurt the average American person.
Well, yeah, and then the deficits that he ran during his administration were record-breaking. And apparently, the way he ran his business included record-breaking deficits based on numerous bankruptcies that resulted from the way he operated his businesses. And I'm just concerned that we're headed in that same direction for the federal government. And we are getting to a dicier and dicier time. Mitt Romney, in his departure speech to the U.S. Senate, spent a great deal of time talking about the worries about the deficit and fiscal discipline. And whether you're a Republican or Democrat, we do need fiscal discipline. What we don't need is to exercise fiscal discipline by slashing programs that will be harmful to Tom, Dick, and Mary. What we need to do is properly focus our government expenditures on doing the things that the people of this country need. And then we need to make sure we raise the revenue to support it. And the loyal patriots in this country who have become very wealthy as the result of all of the infrastructure in this country that's designed to support people and their ability to achieve wealth ought to be eager to pay taxes rather than being the guy that Donald Trump announces he's being, which is any fool. It takes a fool to pay taxes when they can get out of it. Okay, that was his response to not paying taxes. It's only a fool pays taxes if they can avoid it. Well, maybe a patriot pays taxes because of what this country has afforded them.
So, Sandy, is it safe to say then that what we're looking at is Donald Trump attempting to run the government of the United States as his business?
Well, it certainly seems that way. You know, everyone has always said, gosh, wouldn't it be great to have the government run like a business? And I think running the government in a manner that is efficient in terms of how it delivers its services is a desirable outcome if that's what running the government like a business means. What we don't want is a president who runs a government like it's his business, okay?
Right.
And I'm afraid that that's what we've seen. I mean, Jared Kushner making an immense amount of money out of a private equity fund that he's able to create with money that he gets from China and Saudi Arabia right after he is responsible for trips to and negotiations with China and Saudi Arabian governments on behalf of the United States. And to think that cryptocurrency policy might be dictated by a president who has a big stake in having cryptocurrency be underregulated and in a position to be very valuable to someone who trades in it. I talked about this last show, but I think that the corruption of K Street, the corruption that is caused by lobbyists and the way they funnel money from interest groups into campaigns is a particular form of corruption that isn't necessarily feathering the pocket of the congressman or senator themselves. That's clear corruption. But what we're seeing happening now is bright in the sunshine corruption in terms of compromised people who have compromised values being put into positions in which that compromise is apparent.
All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I know you won't keep me very long.
Well, if you stay on topic, you'll be on the line. If you stray off the topic, well, you know.
There's different rules for
no, there's not. CJ, what do you want to talk about, man?
Well, as I enjoy thoroughly listening to you gentlemen fear of the future when we've got a disaster going on presently with this administration, it doesn't really frustrate me because this just clarifies what you gentlemen really are worried about. The disaster that's in the Oval Office right now.
Hey, CJ, this administration is over. It's basically over. We're talking about the next administration. What are your thoughts?
It's going to be amazing. He's got some great candidates, Kash Patel. Read his resume. It's going to be amazing. It already is. You're seeing changes around the world because this man believes in peace through strength and trust but verify, just like Ronald Reagan did. And the wimp in Oval Office right now falling asleep during meetings.
Hey, CJ, he's done, okay? All right, Joe Biden's presidency is basically over for all practical purposes. So there's no point in talking about that. We're talking about Donald Trump. So, Sandy, so hang on the phone lines, guys. We're going to talk about five reasons why Donald Trump will govern like no president before in history. Hang on the phone lines, guys. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And Sandy, we're going to talk a little bit about the five reasons why Donald Trump is going to, his presidency will be different than any other. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phone lines and Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I'd like to, just give the last caller, he's a typical MAGA moron out there who's just still eating the cotton candy that's being fed to him by Newsmax and Fox News. But nobody's paying attention to the fact that Xi Jinping is basically just he's already screwing us over with his big mouth. And the China has basically signed a huge trade deal with Mexico. They're screwing over the farmers now, where they came in while he was in office and bought all the farmland up. They're cutting out imports from us, which is going to hurt our export business. And it's basically just said, well, you know what? You're going to put tariffs on it. We're putting tariffs on anything you send us. Oh, and by the way, we're going to sign this huge deal with Mexico, where we get most of our vegetables and other food products And nobody's paying attention to that. Everybody's still playing the guessing game. And we're sitting around talking about what he might do, what he could do, what guardrails are there. And while we're going to be doing that, I'll guarantee you in the first year, his little puppet masters who really direct what he does, the people that wrote Project 2025 will be in the background taking care of a lot of other things that are just going to pop up on us like a bad fever. And everybody better wake up and start really looking at what's going on, because he's already affected our economy in horrible ways that we're not even aware of yet.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I mean, the fact is that he's got a very simplistic, Trump has announced very simplistic policies, as if the United States can magically impose tariffs and the rest of the world will simply supplicate. Canada has already begun to become reactive and will find ways to react. For instance, we were all upset about the dairy tariffs they were imposing on our dairy goods, and that was a big problem last time around when he imposed tariffs. The world will look different. And will react differently than he believes. And the world has far more resource than I think he understands to be reactive to what it is he does. And everything they do that is reactive will be damaging to us. And for instance, a tariff war with China last time resulted in us having to provide billions of dollars of relief to the agricultural sector in this country, because one of the biggest export targets for our agricultural goods is China. And so, they impose tariffs and the amount of agricultural goods being exported suddenly dropped dramatically. Huge problem for the farm community. Well, that same thing can happen in a variety of sectors, and particularly when you impose tariffs across the board. So, we'll have to see how this gets implemented. But the world at large is, meanwhile, beginning to be, just as he pointed out, is beginning to react and is beginning to implement the things to defend themselves.
Let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning, guys. I hope people don't listen to that, the guy that calls in all the time making Trump look like a saint, because remember, he's a felon and he's also attacked women. However, I've been watching, too, the world. The world is reacting. They saw what he did to our country last time, and they're still in shock that the people of the United States of America would vote for a felon, the one that didn't even protect the people, from the coronavirus and the things that he did and the stuff that he spread and the crimes that he committed against us, the people. So wake up, folks. You better be ready, because it isn't pretty, and they're already talking about it. You need to expand your views of the whole world and not just in your little cult, because this is significant. Thank you, guys, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, we saw...
Well, let me speak to one thing, because I thought it was interesting with respect to caller CJ, that the person he wanted to describe as being... The one name that he described as being a great appointment was Kash Patel to the FBI, the head of the FBI. Now, the FBI is an important agency, but why would it be so important to a MAGA Republican that someone like Kash Patel would be appointed, unless what they're talking about is the political retribution that Trump has talked about so often with respect to how he intends to deploy the Department of Justice? Because, that would be the primary impact of the appointment of someone like Kash Patel.
All right. Five reasons why Trump will govern like no other president in history. Next up on the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.